What a blessing. Let's take our Bible to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And it is good to be back in the house of the Lord today. And, of course, last Sunday I was preaching in Belize and enjoyed preaching to those people there too. Amen. But I'd rather been here preaching here. I guarantee you that. I love this place, love this church and these people. And I'm glad God's allowed us to be here. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6, Matthew chapter number 6, and we are dealing with our theme for 2018, and if you haven't got a calendar, if you're visiting with us today and would like to get a calendar, it's called Christ First, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, and so and all these things shall be added unto you, and so we appreciate the Lord. His promise is in his word. Amen. Our job is to seek. His job is to meet the need. Amen. Now all I can say is God has no problem in doing his job. But boy, we have a problem in doing our job. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so, and we dealt with, if in our calendar, we have 3 points that we're dealing with. Seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. And so we seek in the Lord. And we know we need to seek him in salvation. Very first thing we need to seek is salvation. And seek the God in salvation. And then the second thing we dealt with is service. Serving God. Amen. And so we preached the Sunday before last on Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. Beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And that we not conform to this world, but you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that is? Perfect. The part about the perfect will of God for our life. And we mentioned in those two verses is really the reason why you and I don't seek the Lord. We're not willing to consecrate ourselves. We're not willing to present our bodies. We're not willing to separate. We're not willing to not be conformed to this world. I tell you what, it takes somebody with more than just a human determination to be different than this world. It takes that being led by that supernatural power that lives within you. When Jesus, before he left, before he gave the Great Commission, he said, all power is given unto me. And if you don't have that power living within you, then I don't care how much you try to transform yourself. And you may be a pretty good person. You may come to church faithful and everything. But I tell you what, there'll be a fall in your walk. There's a lot of people that has man serving. They serve man. They serve religion. They might even serve a church. But there's a difference when somebody is genuine in serving Jesus Christ their Lord and have a personal passion for him. And so we see to seek Jesus. We see to serve Jesus. And we see in those two verses, they won't consecrate themselves. They're not willing to consecrate, present their body. They're not willing to separate, to not be conformed to this world. And they're not willing to eliminate. They're not willing to let God transform them. See, when you decide to serve Jesus, there'll be a transformation take place in your life. A transformation will take place in your life. God will use you in ways that you never dreamed that God could use you. God will do things through you that you never dreamed that you could do. And so a lot of people are scared or faithless, if I might should say, of that transformation process. But God's willing and God's able to do it. How many preachers have you heard get up behind the pulpit and said, well, I wouldn't even give an oral report. I'm one of them. I couldn't stand doing an oral report when I was a kid in school. Amen. But guess what? Now I'm standing up before you and preaching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. Why? I'm telling you, that's not within me. You hear preachers say, you know, I get nervous every time I get behind the pulpit. You know why that is? Because they know they can't do it within their own power. Now, there's some that's learned how to do it, but if you haven't learned how to do it, you're going to be nervous every time you get behind the pulpit because you know that there's an inadequacy. There's a need of another power, a need of something that you're helplessly and you cannot fulfill without God moves in and touches you and helps you to do that. Now, I can't put that in pictures or put it in words, but I can tell you, I just know that it exists. And you need that for teaching. I tell you what, we need to pray for our teachers that they be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to pray that our singers be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to pray that Philadelphia Baptist Church will be led by the Spirit of God. Anybody can sing religious songs, and anybody can go through the act of worship just like we went through this morning. But only the Holy Ghost of God can transform lives and touch hearts and lives. Amen. And I believe that happens. I don't ever think we'll ever serve God till we seek Him and worship Him truly as He really needs to be worshipped in our life. Until we get in awe of God, we'll never serve Him like we should. And so, the Lord willing, I'm preaching two messages on each one of these topics on seeking Jesus. I've already done that. Now on serving Jesus, and I'm on my second topic of serving Jesus. And so, with that in mind, when we looked at the first time, we realized it was a personal call. He said, "Beseech you." We realize it was a people that was called. He called them brethren. It was people that are saved. That's who God wants to use. We realize that there is a presentation. You have to present your body. You have to give something to God. Can I tell you, you're never going to serve God until you sacrifice something. It's going to be yourself. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And then we understand serving Jesus. Serving Jesus is something that God wants everybody to do. He said, "Well, I'm not." We know Brother Trevor here, and Lord willing, tonight, if we have time, everything, Brother Trevor may preach his first message tonight. Amen. He's announced his calling to preach, so we're excited about that. And he preached while he was over in Belize, and done a wonderful job. But what I'm trying to say is, as we seek Jesus and we begin to serve the Lord and we begin to minister for Him, God wants to do things in our life and in our life. And so each one of you, you say, "Well, I'm not called to be a missionary to Belize. I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not even called to be a deacon." Though, I'm telling you, God has a service for each and every one in this building. The Bible says you're to be witnesses. When you got saved, you guess what? You got put on the front line of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, being a light and a testimony for Him. You say, "What am I going to witness?" Well, why don't you just try to tell somebody what happened to you the day you got saved? You know, it won't, I kid about this sometimes. Sometimes we'll take the kids and when we go on a mission trip, you know, a lot of times some of them haven't done a whole lot of testifying before. When we get on a mission trip, I tell them, I said, "Now, if we're going to go on a mission trip, you're going to get up there and say, if you will," I don't force them, but I said, "If you will, we'd like for you to testify." And so they usually volunteer to testify. And so if they do, and so the first time testifying, man, they're testifying, it'd be really good. And then we'll go to the next place there, and we was taking a group, and one of them come to me and said, "Man," he said, "I don't know what to do to testify again." I said, "You can't do nothing but tell the same thing you told the first time." Yeah, yeah. Your testimony don't change. Yeah, right. Amen. It don't change. As many people, and some of them kidded me when we was on the trip, they could tell them their testimony is good. My testimony is as good as I could tell it. Amen. And so when I went to go to tell my testimony, you know, they're over there. You know, he knew his sister needed to be saved. His brother needed to be saved. And they're saying, you know, and so you need to pray for that group. Anyway, but there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I'm telling you what, if I'd been a pastor 16 years and they didn't know my testimony, something would be wrong. Amen. That's exactly right. And so you give your testimony. You just share what Jesus did for you. You don't have to have this great knowledge of the Word of God. You don't have to have this great, be able to answer all the questions from all the questions people might have. All God is required of you is to be a witness. And a witness in that sense, and that word is used as an eyewitness. It's somebody, something that you've experienced. You know, if we was in court and they wanted to know what happened down here at the wreck, you know, and I'm sitting at home, they wouldn't want to know what I thought about the wreck. They want to know who somebody's sitting there that's seen it with their own eyes. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you experienced it yourself. And it can be totally different than what other people experience. But you have to share what God did in your life. Mine's very simple. I told my dad, I said, "I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell." He said, "I'll just tell you what God told me, what I did when I got saved. I just told God I was a sinner and asked God to save me. I told God I was a sinner and asked God to save me." It works. You might have never prayed the Lord's Prayer, you know, and got saved. You know, other people prayed and agonized with God for all afternoon and got saved. I can't tell how you get saved, but I can tell you this. Once you get saved, you can tell somebody else how you got saved. Well, I didn't get much amens at that, but why? Because we don't want to. I reckon we forgot that's really our job to do. You all are servants in that bath. If I don't get anything over to you today, if I don't even read my text or do anything, you just need to realize you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a servant of God. You have a call upon your life. Amen. And so with that in mind, let's read our text. And then we want to go to Matthew chapter number 16 after I read my text. Matthew 6, verse number 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your people. What a joy it is to be back at Philadelphia Baptist Church and be here on this Sunday. Thank you for those that are our guests today that are visiting with us. Thank you so much. Thank you for those, God, that's came back. Father's visited before and came back. And God, I just pray that you'll touch and work in each one's heart. God, we thank you for those that's been sick and away from the wall, been able to come back, and different ones, God, that's had the flu and now are able to be back. God, we just thank you so much for that. God, we have so much to praise you for. Thank you for the good singing, how it stirred our spirit, stirred our soul, energized us. We thank you so much for that. Now, God, I pray you'll take your word and your workmen and do your will. I need you, God. I've got to have you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You read the text here, it says, he said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man, and I believe, I'm not putting it adding into the word of God, but this man here means any man, any woman, any child, any person, any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his, her cross and follow me. I'm telling you, God is looking for disciples, amen. God is looking for people to serve him. And we're living in a day when serving the Lord is not a popular thing to do. Right. And serving the Lord is not something that a lot of people are excited about getting in line to do. But we realize that it's something that everybody is born again. So if you're saved today, and there's some things that will be very familiar with the text, is that you've been bought with a price. You're not your own. The Spirit of God lives within inside you. You inhouse the Spirit of God. And God has a purpose and a plan that he wants to perform in your life. And as I've said it before, and been saying it here recently quite a bit, when God said for the wind to be still, it hushed. When the Lord said for the whale to swallow Jonah, guess what? The whale came up and swallowed Jonah. Amen. When he said for the donkey to speak, the donkey speak. When he told the chicken to crow, the chicken crow. Amen. Amen. But when he told Jonah to go to Nineveh, no. Amen. You're the only creature God's created that he's gave a free will. Amen. Now those angelic beings have similar of the free will because they rejected Christ and rejected and are fallen angels. I don't understand all about that. If you do, you can tell me about it later. Amen. But I will tell you this. You're the creatures that I know and I'm dealing with right now. We all have a free will. And so you choose to serve Jesus or not. You choose to be part of the army of the Lord or not. Now, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so that's put you into the family of God. But it's also put you also into being a soldier in the Lord's army. Amen. Amen. Because, and this wonderful thing of worshiping God is our Savior. And oh, what a Savior is he. And y'all not getting excited about that, you're really not going to get excited about the other side. And we also look at, he's our commander of chief. Amen. Amen. He's our master and Lord. Now, so when you speak those things, you know what we're looking at? We're looking at being a slave and a servant and a soldier. Amen. We forget about, oh, he's our Savior. And we're a saint and a son, and we're sealed. I just made that up. That's pretty good. Amen. And we're a saint and we're a son and we're sealed. Somebody write that down. I can't write it down right now. Really? We're looking at, he's our Savior. We're worshiping him. But over here, he's our Lord, Master, Commander. Same, we're the same person. So over here, there's a beautiful place of heaven that we're going to go to. But while we live here, there's a battle that has to be fought. He said, what's the battle? The battle's for the souls of men. Weighed in the balances this morning is unwanted souls. Weighed in the balances this morning are souls that are headed to heaven or hell. All eternity weighs in the balances today. Those that you work with, those that are your friends, those that are kin folks, brothers, sisters, moms, and dads are weighed in the balances and found wanted. There is a cause to serving Jesus. Amen? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But first of all, if we're going to serve Jesus, first of all, you know what? We're going to have to follow him to the cross. I mean, he mentions that you and I have a cross. Amen? Now, of course, we follow him to the cross, and at the cross of Jesus Christ, we find forgiveness. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we find a friend. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we find somebody that can forgive us of our sins and that accepts us exactly who we are. But God committed love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing to know that at the cross we find him. And at the cross when we come to him, we find peace that passes all understanding. At the cross we get peace with God. Oh, what a wonderful thing at his cross. But at the cross, something else takes place. A transformation. We become a new creature. We get a divine nature. And at the cross comes a calling to take up your cross and follow me. Amen. So, hey, we need to follow Jesus to the cross. Hey, we need to follow Jesus to the wilderness. That place of temptation where Satan tempted him. Because you know what temptations do and trials will do and tests will do? It will approve us to God. It will approve God to us. That his grace is sufficient for every hour. His grace is sufficient for every need. That he's able to sustain us. He's able to provide for us. He's able to show himself mighty on our behalf. And when we look at Jesus Christ and Satan fighting him, we see Jesus turn to the Word of God each time. Amen. And if you and I are in a test, in a trial, guess where we need to turn? Amen. To God's Word. It's good to have counsel, and it's good to have good friends, and have people, a church praying for you. But your greatest resource in a time of trial, in a time of troubles, in a time of tears, is to turn to God's holy Word. Amen. It'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It'll be a strength for your soul. It'll be that which you need. Amen. Amen. So we see, if we're going to serve Jesus, we'll have to follow him to the cross. We'll have to go through the wilderness with him. But we also must enter the field of service. Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but it says this in verse number 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sick and every evil, every disease among the people. But the Bible said, but when he saw the multitude. So he was out there in the field laboring. So I'm afraid some of you, some preacher, I don't have a burden. You know why you ain't got a burden? Because you're not doing anything. If you start serving God, if you start surrendering, seeking him, if you start surrendering to him, if you are submitting to him, if you start doing those things, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find there's a burden. There's a call. There's a need. There's a cause. See, if I sit in my office and just study the Word of God all the time, I don't see the need of everything that's going on outside the doors of the office. Amen. And if you've come to church with blinders on and you come to church just to sit and soak and sire, then guess what? You will not see the need to serve. Well, so-and-so does that. We got people does this. We got people do that. But if you'll submit yourself to God and get involved, you know what you're going to find out? Boy, this area needs some help. Boy, that area needs... we could do something. There's something right here that God could let me do. When Jesus was about the villages, when he was about doing his work, he was laboring in the field. Guess what happened? He got a burden. The Bible says that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. It says move on them because what? Because they fainted. Guess what? They was perishing. Do you realize that people around you are perishing? People around you, they're perishing. The best illustration I can give you is the illustration the Lord gave me one time. When I was pastor in Tennessee, we'd had a fellowship. It'd probably been a week or maybe even 2 weeks since the fellowship. And I walked into the fellowship hall and sitting on the bar there, similar to our bar, sitting on it was a tomato. And from this distance, from walking to that tomato from this side looked like a real, ripe, wonderful tomato that you'd want on your hamburger. So I went to grab that tomato. I'm this close to it. And I grab it, and when I grabbed it, it just disintegrated. The whole backside of it was complete and rotten, black. And then I got to looking, and what happened to that? It was sitting about 2 inches off, 3 inches from the back wall, and it had a little run of that juice. It had run out of it and ran down the back. Now, y'all getting the picture? And had on the backside of that black and white moldy. And my hands, it went plumb through that thing. From the outside here, it looked like it was fine on this side. But on the backside, it was perishing. So it perished. I'm telling you what, you go down to the job, and when they walk in, it looks like on this side, they're doing pretty good. But you look at the backside of them, they're perishing. They're lost. They're lost. They need Jesus. They're perishing. They're going to perish in their sins. He said he had compassion when he seen that they perished. And then he goes on to say, when he seen that they were scattered abroad, they was lost. They had no direction for their life. And really, a person in this world that is not saved really has no direction. Can you imagine living for this life only? See, most of you sitting here saved, and your whole life you've lived, you've been saved, and you know that you have a destiny. You know you have an eternity. You know you have a place to go. If you really believe in Jesus and you believe what you say you believe, we know we're headed out of here. And I tell you what, it's growing old ain't really what it's cracked up to be, somebody say amen. And so every day, you know, you get up and you got another little pain here and you got a little pain here and you have a sickness and you have this. And you know one day you're checking out of here. But see, the only thing is about a child of God is checking out of here. You know, we don't want to leave our loved one. Even though we don't want to leave this world. And I believe that's a natural thing that God gives us and we should have. But we know, and boy, I've seen it so many times in a saint of God's life. They're fixing to depart this world. And for some reason, they let go of this world. And they have a greater desire to depart and be over there. Because God's grace has become sufficient in their life. And they get what we call dying grace. And they're more willing to go there than to stay here. Amen. I mean, you go start visiting. They said, preacher, don't pray that I live, but pray that I die. Amen. Preacher, now. Pray the Lord to come and get me soon. I'm ready to go to see my family and see my Father and see my Heavenly Father. I'm ready to go. Amen. You go in there to encourage them, Brother Luke. There'll be a day you'll go in the rest home or you'll go to some family and you go, I'm going to try to encourage sister or something. And by the time you leave, you're shouting, thanking God for, hey, we got a blessed hope. We got a promise. We got something we can depend upon. Hey, you and I have got a lively hope, the Bible says. Amen. A lively hope. Amen. Right. Amen. If y'all get excited about the singing, get excited about the preaching. Amen. Right. It's a lively hope. Yeah. A lively hope. Yeah. Hey. But this world, they don't have that hope. I've been in both places. I've walked in those rooms where they was dying and knew the Lord, and I've walked in those rooms where they had lived a life and had no expectation of ever seeing Jesus. It's lost. Now I'm telling you, it's a different story. I've watched people lose their loved ones. I've watched them lose their mother or lose their dad. And they not be saved, but their mom and dad be saved. I've seen brothers and sisters sitting in the same room. I mean, at the same time. And I've seen a sister over here. I've seen a daughter look into her mother's eye and say, I'll see you in the morning. And I've seen a son look into his mama's eyes and cry and weep because he knows he'll never see her again. It's a different story. Amen. It's a different story. It's a different feeling. I've watched that loved one die, and I've heard the cry. I've heard the cry of gladness. And I've heard the cry of despair and hopelessness, knowing that they'll never, never see him again. The Bible says, he said he's seen that there was those that perished. There was those that was lost. And then it says the sheep having no shepherd. They was hopeless. So there's something about a sheep. You know what it's got to have? A shepherd. I know the Bible likens us to sheep. And so I'm not saying you're this way. But I'm just telling you what about a sheep. Sheep is one of the dumbest animals there are. Amen. And they got to have somebody to lead them. Or they will not make it. They'll not make it. You take it. Please forgive me for using this animal. We've had a lot of discussion on this trip about cats. But anyway, cat. You know, you take a cat. I mean, you know, throw him outside. He's going to make it. Amen. He gonna find something to eat. I mean, they mean to the devil. They got the devil in them. Anyway, but I said that just for Jim. But okay, amen. I'm saying, hey, but you can't do that with a sheep. I'm saying, what is a sheep gonna kill? Huh? Amen. Can you see him? Huh? You can't see him prancing on something. Can you see him putting his claws up and clawing something? No. He's got it. I'm telling you, they was hopeless. And that's why this world is without a shepherd. They're hopeless. They're completely hopeless without a shepherd. And that's what Jesus seen. Why? When he was in the field. So what you've got to realize, men and women, young men and young ladies, you're in the field. The harvest is out there. The harvest is out there. I want to notice just three things. I just got 3 points quickly. We see here, we see the need. In the field, we see the harvest. And that harvest is the need. I've just preached that to you. Here we find his will. It's in the field. What does he say? He goes on to say, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we find his will in the field. His will is that he'd have some laborers. It goes on to say, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. It is his harvest. Remember that now. Always remember that. You're just a laborer. Laboring in his field. Okay? It's his harvest. It's his work. But he uses us as instruments to harvest that, to gather in the sheaves, if you will. And so we see here, we find his will. Now, I told you I just have 3 points. That's 2 of them. Here's the 3rd one. Here we labor. It's in the field that we labor for souls. The psalmist put it like this. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing what? His sheaves with him. He's talking about that harvest. And you and I are going to have to go out into the field. And we're going to have to be servants of God where we can harvest something. We're going to have to be servants of God where you and I can be a part of the harvest that God has. Now, with that in mind, David said, and when they come to that giant, he said, is there not a cause? And we know there is a cause. What is that cause? That cause is the souls of young boys and young girls. That cause is the souls of men and women that needs to hear the gospel. And I'm convinced, more than I've ever been convinced before, I'm convinced that you and I, in this day and time, if we will take the gospel and we'll preach this gospel to lost people will get saved. See, I'd be a, some of y'all probably think I am already, but I'd be a fool to think that I'm going to have people saved by the groves every Sunday morning at Philadelphia Baptist Church. You say, why? Because we ain't got a lot of lost people here. Amen. We've got to get the gospel to where the lost people are. We're doing that through missions, yes. But that's just a facet. That's an area of the labor. Thank God for that. And I'm not putting that down. And we push that. But that's not our greatest mission field. Our greatest mission field is the people we live with, we serve around, we labor around. It's right here. And though last year we read and we were so excited at our in-year reading of how wonderful in missions we did out there, if you and I don't start doing it in here, finally we'll not be doing it out there. Because, see, you know why the churches start drying up and they stop supporting missions is because they don't have the funds to do it. Because why? Finally, we get older and we're not working anymore and we're on Social Security. And you know all y'all living high on the hog on Social Security. Yeah, you know. Oh, you know. And so the givens, amen. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, if this younger generation at Philadelphia Baptist Church does not get under the load of not carrying the gospel to the lost and dying world, but carrying the gospel right here in Calhoun, in Adairsville, in our county. If we don't get under the load of being the right example, being a testimony, being a witness right here, then there one day will not be a Philadelphia Baptist Church. We've got to labor. We've got to serve. I'm talking about serving Jesus. We've got to seek the Lord, and we put our theme is Christ first. We've got to put Christ first in our life. That's the only way that Philadelphia Baptist Church is going to survive. That's the only way they're going to be a place. Georgia Lynn downstairs? Okay. Got Emily up here, Christy. She's expecting Georgia Lynn. And if they're going to be a place, we can bring these little kids. They're going to be a place where they're going to come and hear the gospel. And I'm not talking about hearing a perverted gospel. Yeah. Somebody was talking about this. They was very adamant about it. But they was talking about a certain preacher that's down in Texas. And they said, they wondered about this. They said, somebody was talking to them about how they love to hear this certain preacher preach. And they said, well, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard him preach on salvation? And they said, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard him preach on salvation. Well, have you ever heard him preach on the condemnation of man and where man's really going to go if they leave this world? And they said, no, I never heard him preach on that. Amen. I never heard him preach. I don't think I've ever heard him preach on that. And so, well, have you ever heard him preach on how that you're to sacrifice and give your life to God and be a servant of God? No, I don't think I've ever heard him preach. Then what in the world is he preaching? It can't be that Bible. Amen. It can't be that Bible. Why? So then why do you love to hear him preach? I'll tell you why. Because it pleases your flesh. It pleases your flesh. So, and if there's going to be a church still left that'll take that old King James Bible and ran back and said, hey, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, if there's going to be somebody say, hey, it's still wrong. Fornication's still wrong. Amen. Hey, sex for that before marriage is still wrong. Amen. If there's going to be somebody going to declare our kids the truth. Amen. I mean the truth. Hey, if you go to the doctor, you don't want him to tell you a lie. I hope, brother, I think I'm friends enough for Brother Jerry. I mean, you've been through a battle. We know that. But you never would be where you're at now if that doctor hadn't told you the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. The truth. He said, preacher, people don't want to hear the truth. It don't matter. We don't want to hear that we're sick. We don't want to hear that. That's exactly right. But guess what? If you're sick, you need to hear what? You're sick. The truth needs to be told and needs to be heard. And I know we need to speak the truth in love, and I hope we do that. We try our best to do that. I'm saying we need to be compassionate, just like Jesus had compassion on the multitude. We need to be compassionate. We need to love people as they are. I understand that. But we need to realize, let them know where they're living. I'm telling you, we need some people that be willing to serve God. Serve the Lord. See, when you're in the field, you'll see the need. When you're in the field, you'll find His will. When you're in the field, you'll see the laborers for souls. Now let me just, I wrote these things down. I don't read a whole lot, but there's some things I pinned down about a service, about serving God. And I want us to hear it. And sisters coming, I want you to listen. Service is faith in action. Serving God is doing something for God. This morning, I love shouting. I love praising God. I love us worshiping. But you know what that is? That's worship. You're fixing to leave this building and go serve God. You're going to leave for yourself. Service is more than just saying I'm a Christian. Service is more than believing a few religious statements. Service is more than a memorizing a doctrine or creed. Service is believing God in such a way that it compels you to do whatever He demands you to do. That's what service would be. Service is dying to self because He commands it. So your commander says you're going to have to die out to self and take up your cross and follow Me. Serving God is yielding to the Spirit of God because the flesh is submitted to God. Be certain a life of service is a life of faith, and a life of faith is a life of service. Don't you tell me you got faith and you ain't serving God. I want to ask you this question. Does your service for God cry out to others around you? Does it say, look at my life. Look at my attitude. Look at my decisions. Look at what I'm doing. Look at my words and my life and my walk, my choices, and do as I do. Apostle Paul said, follow me. Can you say follow me? Do you want your moms, do you want your dad, do you want your children to follow Jesus like you're following Jesus? Do you have a desire for your children to be the same Christian you are? The great Apostle Paul could say, follow me. And only someone that is passionately following Christ can say those words. Follow me as I follow Him. Serving God is being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Serving God is not walking into a church on Sunday. Serving God is walking into a dark cave 24/7 through the week with a flashlight shining in the darkness. Remember, serving God, God has an appointing. That means He has a call in your life. God has an anointing. That's an empowering you. You don't have to be a preacher to be anointed. You have to be a missionary to be anointed. You need to be anointed to go on your job. You need to be anointed to sing in the choir. You need to be anointed to do whatever you do, to go to school. You need the anointing of God to work through you. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to be walking in the Spirit of God and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And lastly, God has an appreciation. There's a reward one day. There's a reward. There's a reward waiting you on the other side. My greatest reward. Andrew says she's saved. Aaron says he's saved. Deborah says she's saved. My greatest reward when I get to heaven, I have two children already there. My greatest reward, be walking through the streets of gold, the street of gold. When I walk through that gate, to walk hand in hand with my wife and see my son and his wife and however many grandchildren God gives them, to walk through that gate with them. And to see my daughter and whatever God does in her life and gives, she gives her a maid, if she has children, whatever. I'm telling you, Brother Johnny, that's the greatest reward that I could have. The greatest reward to take the only thing that God has really gave me down here. That's going to be greater than cars and fame and power. It's going to be greater. I wonder, do I want my children to be what I am for the Lord? There's going to be a day of appreciation. All power is given unto you. We cannot stand before God and say, God, if you gave me the power, if you gave me the ability, God, if I just knew, no, you know. If you'll get in the field, I'm telling you, the burden will be there. The anointing of God will be upon you. And you'll be able to do what God wants you to do. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Father, we thank you for loving us, for saving us. We pray, Lord, we'll go out from here and be better servants of yours, better witnesses for you, Lord, and just guide us, help us, Lord, to love you more and serve you better. In Jesus' name, amen.